The words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Brian McLaren, who's based at the Centre for Action and Contemplation with Richard Rohr, talks about not taking Herod out of Christmas. It's a play on that common response to not take Christ out of Christmas. But he's making an important point. The passage from Matthew is not a part of the Christmas story we really want to keep telling, like the rest of it, but it is important. It's awful. The slaughter of Bethlehem's baby boys is gruesome. But it's a violence we actually know all too well. We've known them in Rwanda, Bosnia, Cambodia, Indonesia, China, New York, even here now in New Zealand. And I can't help but think of most recently the outpouring of grief of those many parents whose babies have died in Samoa due to measles. I realise it's different, but somehow the image of the grief links those stories. And I guess because it's a similar sense of proportion, probably more babies died in Samoa recently than in Bethlehem at this massacre, for Bethlehem was not a big place. But we get that image of a whole community losing their precious babies. The story of Bethlehem, though, was based in a story of power and of fear. King Herod would stop at nothing to retain power, even murdering members of his own family, including three of his sons. And at his death, his will asked that one member of every family in the land be killed so that the nation would truly be in mourning. It seems that his quest for power was linked profoundly, though, with a deep sense of fear. And when Herod heard that there was another potential king born, that deep fear brought about the massacre of those infant boys under the age of two in Bethlehem. Joseph is warned in a dream to escape. Another dream for Joseph, now determining his new family's safety. We talked about Joseph's earlier dream last week when the angel persuaded him not to leave Mary. It seems for Joseph and God, dreams are their communication of choice. And Joseph is the hero here. Listening to God, he saves his family. And like the Joseph of old, the dreamer ends up in Egypt, a long way away, especially in a time when travelling was really big and uncommon. Most people died within 20 miles of where they were born. And so we see Mary, Joseph, and their child fleeing to Egypt. Another common image. One family, one of millions of refugee families who have fled their homeland to find safety. I guess that's why I like this image so much. Can you just put the next picture on the screen? Yep, if you just go to the next screen, it should be there. If you just go on, that's it. Perfect. It's called La Sagrada Familia, and it's a painting by Kelly Lattimore, 2017. And it reminds us the reality of a family's escape. Jesus escaped, but many didn't. The terrible sound of wailing parents filled Bethlehem, just as parents are wailing this day in various places around our globe. Although many scholars quickly say this is not a story primarily about refugees, but about the deeper theological point of a link between Jesus and this greater figure Israel had known until this point, Moses. You see, Moses was paramount in Jewish history, even more revered than Abraham or King David. We can't begin really to comprehend how awesome Moses was perceived in Jewish thinking. He was this historic giant. But have a think for a moment why Moses was so significant. What had he done? That's a question. Deliverance. He delivered the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. He also spoke with God face to face and survived, and he was the lawgiver. Okay, there's some pretty key things about Moses. And here is Matthew daring to place another name beside Moses, a new saviour for the people. Jesus is the new Moses. Just as Moses was born under an evil ruler, the Pharaoh, Jesus is born under the evil King Herod. Just as Moses needed to escape the slaughter of Jewish newborns, Jesus needs to escape the slaughter of the children massacre in Bethlehem. Both escape in the cover of night. Moses led the people out of Egypt. Jesus brought Mary and Jesus safely to Nazareth. There's no doubt that Matthew wanted his readers to notice those parallels. And then he takes it still further. This Jesus is not only similar to the greatest person in Israel's rich religious and ethical history, he is even greater than Moses. As his gospel unfolds, Matthew reveals Jesus as the greater Moses. Moses gave the law, but Jesus fulfills it. Moses delivered judgment and condemnation. Jesus called and welcomed sinners and brought them forgiveness and liberation. The rigid disciples of Moses could become self-righteous. Those who trusted Jesus were content to live by grace. But amidst all of this, I believe Matthew is also inviting us to see the place of Egypt in all of this. The link with Moses reminds us of those stories of escape, stories the Jews were brought up on, told over and over again as we spoke with the children, that Moses led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. Egypt was linked permanently in the listeners' minds with slavery. And here this is turned on its head. The place of slavery here becomes the place of refuge. And how does it do that? Because Egypt offers welcome to the refugee. Christmas doesn't end the weeping, but it starts to turn things upside down. The powers of this world will do all it can to stop a new king, even the killing of innocents. But refuge will be found in unlikely places, for God is doing a new thing. The Holy Family become refugees. It's no longer safe at home. They are fortunate to escape, and they now depend on the hospitality of Egypt. The incarnation is already undoing and re-knitting human reality. And we are called to be people who welcome Jesus, who welcome the refugee, who are willing to break with expectation for the kingdom to be built. Let me end with a short poem. Yes, I'm finally back into the discipline of poetry writing. It's called Refuge. When Egypt becomes refuge, welcome transforms fear to calm, running to sitting. The table is now wide, wider than before. What was once known is no longer. What was once knit is undone, only for eager fingers to take up needles, re-knitting a welcome snug and warm. Amen.